like basically destroy humanity because humanity has free will and there's a decision to which level we want to go to. We have free will, so evil's allowed to come and contend and not just good. And the elites themselves believe they're racing using human technology to try to take our best minds and build some type of breakaway civilization where they're going to merge with machines, transcend, and break away from the failed species that is man, which is kind of like a false transmission because they're thinking what they are is ugly and bad, projecting it onto themselves instead of believing, no, it's a human test about building us up. And so...
That was a wonderful, quick minute analysis from Alex Jones on the epic story of Evangelion that I thought was very applicable.
Is that actually what he was talking about?
No, but that's the meme. It's oh, a fucking okay. joke. But I thought the great soothsayer Alex Jones's incredible analysis on Evangelion would be applicable to the topic we're going to be talking about. I'm welcome back to another episode of Hey Turner Up Podcast. I'm Shinji from Love and Pop.
I'm Nick from Stop Culture.
I'm Ethan from youtube.com/Gulif.
I'm VHS guy Nick.
So today we're doing some Oscar coverage first, and then we're gonna we're gonna go into the 1998 film Love and Pop. So does anyone have the Oscar nominations?
I have them pulled up
right
now.
Yeah, I
can just go down
as well. Okay,
should we just start? I'm just gonna start from the top of the list.
Sure. Yeah,
I'll skip like short films and stuff because I don't think we'll care about that.
If short films aren't real movies.
Yeah, jump in if you guys have any big opinions about this. Because so first off, we have actor in a leading role, and the nominees are Adrian Brody in The Brutalist, Timothée Chalamet in A Complete Unknown, Coleman Domingo in Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes from Conclave, and Sebastian Stan in The Apprentice. I haven't seen A Complete Unknown, but I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just, I don't know, I feel like you could have nominated him for Dune Part 2.
I think Timothée Chalamet awesome. Just being nominated is a basic bitch-ass choice. I haven't seen the movie, but I already know that he's just there because he did the Bob Dylan things, and then that counts as an Oscar nomination, I guess.
It's a typical Oscars move to just nominate the person who did the most work, you know, because he apparently, I know he prepared for that role for years, you know, he was casting it, I think, over 5 years ago. So, you know, he did the work to get the role. Like Ethan said, I prefer him in Dune Part 2 over Bob Dylan, but I don't know. I guess out of that grouping, I would want Sebastian Stan to win, actually. I thought he was excellent in The Apprentice. I just started watching Conclave. Ralph Fiennes is really great in that. It seems like Adrian Brody will probably win. I still haven't seen The Brutalist, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, I have no qualms with Adrian Brody being in the list as well. He'll probably win just purely because The Brutalist is the current hype machine right now. I haven't seen Sing Sing yet. I don't even think it's out. I have no way of watching the movie, so... but from what I heard, he's really great. It would be kind of based if Sebastian Stan won for the Oscars because, you know, the Trump thing or whatever. Well, I guess not based, just more teehee, we did a thing where, you know, the president is also the actor and blah, 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 you know. So, but yeah, like you said, it'll probably go to Adrian Brody.
Yeah,
I haven't seen too many of these movies, so.
Yeah, I'm more in an issue where a lot of these aren't showing near me, which is a part of the problem.
I actually really wanted to see The Brutalist. I just never got around to it.
They don't have any like boring theaters by you that play like artsy fartsy stuff, Ethan.
I mean, it's playing Wicked still.
It's just the multiplex.
I'm sure I could find it. There's
the other 3 hour plus epic.
You have to find a movie theater where only old people and hipsters go to. That's where they play the good stuff.
They're all the way in Reno, but that's like an hour and a half from me, so.
I should have drive to Austin. It's a little bit of a way, but
yeah,
not too far.
I'm right next to my apartment is a Nighthawk movie theater, which is really nice. They play
hell yeah.
They're playing The Brutalist right now.
Nice.
A lot of these. I mean, that's one of the only upsides about living in New York. You get to see everything. You know,
it's true.
Right
that's
away.
True. Yeah. Yeah, you got to see. Unlike us other peasants, you could have seen a Megalopolis in IMAX. That would have been truly wonders.
So
when I was in Dallas, right down the road was one of like the only like, or one of like the seven like 70 millimeter IMAXs in the country. It was pretty sick. It was right down the road for me.
Yeah.
What's the next category, Ethan?
Were there any big snubs for this that anyone was concerned about?
I don't know. I haven't really been thinking about the Oscars, but let me look at my 2024 list and see if anything comes to mind. I disagree with Ralph Fiennes being great in the movie. I thought he was just fine. The whole movie was so just screamed mid and fine that when I was watching the film, I actually watched it on Christmas because I thought, I'm sure Jesus would appreciate me watching this film. And I got so bored so quickly that I just started doing other things while the movie was going on.
I think it's incredible.
It was very
grossing. I really liked it.
That's fun. I know. I'm in the minority. It wasn't really for me. I didn't really connect with anything that was going on, but you know, it at least looked nice, I guess. Here are a couple. Daniel Craig for Queer, I would have preferred.
Yeah, Luca Guadagnino actually got fucked this year.
He's just fucked in general because not a single one of his movies got any sort of nomination whatsoever. I guess he just ran over the Academy's dog or something, and they were like, that's it. No
nominations
for you.
We'll save it when we get
to
fucking Score, but yeah, let's just move on. Actress in the leading role, we have Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, Carla Sofia Gascon for Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison for Anora, Demi Moore for The Substance, and for Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here, which I have seen The Substance and Wicked.
Hope it goes to Demi Moore. She absolutely deserves it. I want her. She's not going to win, but I hope so.
I don't know. She won the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
How has anything to do with Emilia Perez being nominated for anything? I've seen like 90% of that movie through clips online. And holy
that's a very
fucking
accurate
shit.
Way to view a film.
It is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't understand how that's getting nominated for
all shit. I've seen is the clip where it's like vagina to penis, penis
I
to
saw
vagina.
That one. Yeah. A couple of friends of mine keep posting that clip as like a meme every time it's like relevant to the conversation.
It got 13
I'm like, wow,
nominations.
This is doing such that's a great obscene. Job selling me it. Yeah. So yeah. I heard it was just fantastic. I heard it was just wonderful and I can't wait to watch it.
It was pretty epic. It was a barnyard level film.
And you have to remember the people who make up the Academy, it's a lot of older people who are probably tired of younger people criticizing the Oscar voting pool of Academy members of not being progressive enough or woke enough or whatever. So anytime there's a movie
like an
Emilia
obligation
Perez,
theirs almost.
Yeah, they just want to like make up for perceived slights in the past, and then nominating a movie like this that is pretty clearly undeserving of it. It's just really just being nominated because of the subject matter it's tackling.
The Academy just does this shit all the time. They just nominate movies that think that make them progressive, but it really just goes to show how out of touch they are, you know, because when they nominate shit like Crash or what was the other racist Green Book, that was it. When they nominate shit like that, they're just like, look, see, we're progressive, we're not racist, we nominated a movie where the whole film the white guy drives the black guy, like Jesus fucking Christ, like
I
get a grip
Green Book.
On reality
I don't know
for
fucking,
like 2 seconds
about. That movie was really good.
And
I finally watched it after y'all were there was one episode where y'all were shitting all over it and I was just like, okay, I'm gonna watch this shit. It was a pretty good movie.
Yeah,
Green Book is the most unsurprising boomery thing I've heard him say for the past couple episodes. Like, it's just very much this is normie as shit. Nick will probably like this.
Nick will eat this shit up.
Honestly,
Jacob Mortensen was good in it.
My hope is that Demi Moore wins, and I'm hoping there's a chance because, like, I don't know, she won at the Golden Globes, and that has to mean something. But I don't know.
Really.
It might go to Mikey Madison. I've heard she was great in Anora. Or they might give it to Carla Sofia Gascon just because it's a part of
Emilia
Perez.
Deserves. I love that movie, but I don't think she deserves to win for it over The Substance.
Are the performances that great in because I haven't seen Wicked, and I think Ariana Grande also got nominated, right? So like, are the performances just the most spectacular shit out? Because all I've ever heard is people really, really like it, and the people who don't get shit on Twitter or something like that. So I haven't
it's
seen it yet.
Like
I'm going to
film.
It.
Yeah, it's like a film where it's like got a big audience. I'll because I've seen it. I'll go in more into that. I think Cynthia Erivo was really good. I definitely don't think she deserves to win over Demi Moore though. But moving on to actress.
You said that the Golden Globes doesn't have any influence on who wins the Oscars. I mean, it's you know, they call it the Golden Globes and whatever, you know. What are the other ones, like the Spirit Awards and shit like that?
I just think the precursor
awards, that it does build a momentum up to for certain people to get the Oscar eventually, you know.
Yeah, I just think that in terms, like, if you care about predicting what will win at the Oscars, I don't think the Golden Globes is necessarily that good of a job, because it casts such a wide net. You know, because it's like, oh, we're not just nominating movies, we're nominating drama and comedy and all this other shit, you know, and I just don't think it's that good of an accurate representation of what might win. When I think about, like, award shows that could actually be decent indicators of what will win, I'm probably thinking of more of things like the BAFTAs or some shit, or some other award shows. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah.
Critics' Choice Award, something like that. Yeah. So
now we have the actresses in a supporting role. We have Monica Barbaro from A Complete Unknown, Ariana Grande from Wicked, Felicity Jones in The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini from Conclave, and Zoe Saldana from Emilia Perez. You guys were asking about Wicked. If Ariana Grande won this, I would not be offended. I think she was actually genuinely probably the best part about the movie. Like,
really?
I do not like Ariana Grande. Me and my wife are like, don't like her. I don't like her vibe. I don't like anything. We went in there, and about 30 minutes in, I was like, damn, she's really, really good in this. Like, she gives a genuinely great comedic performance, and she's just a fucking crazy talented singer. But I wouldn't be shocked if she won.
Her vibe is all fucked up lately. I don't know what's going on. Every time I see a clip of her, it looks like she's out to lunch mentally. You know what I mean?
What's her vibe?
Yeah.
Well, she's like been in character for like fucking 10 years now.
As soon as she got cast, she just like completely changed her personality.
You remember the clip of Hillary Clinton looking at the balloons on stage during one of the debates?
No.
Well, to anyone who's listening to this, Hillary Clinton... there was one time, it was at the DNC in 2016, she was like looking up at balloons, like up, like kind of being twitchy. That's been just Ariana Grande's kind of like chipmunk sort of vibe lately.
Vibe. That's fair.
Look, it all went downhill from here after Sam and Cat.
Notable no nomination for Margaret Qualley in Substance.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a
bummer. Sucked, but I don't know.
I'm not a fan
what
of
can
hers.
You do? I, you know, like I'm
Margaret
honestly
Qualley?
Not.
No.
Yeah, but she was great in the movie.
But she
though.
Was
like,
in
it's
Death
why
Stranding.
I wanted...
I still haven't seen it. I gotta watch it. Substance. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, Substance
still,
is so good.
I haven't seen it, but
yeah, I'm not really.
I don't dislike it.
I'm not really excited about any of these nominations. I guess if I had to pick one of these, I guess Felicity Jones. But I didn't even think she was that great in the film. And I honestly forgot Isabella Rossellini was even in Conclave in the first place. So
I was just trying
like,
to think of who she even is. She's like the head nun or whatever. Is that who she is?
Something like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Nick, you've seen Complete Unknown. Is Monica Barbaro good?
Yeah, she's good. She has a good singing voice and everything. She plays well off Chalamet. I wouldn't have like singled her out as a performance that wowed me this year, though. I don't think that she'll win.
No, okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked. No. That's my lock. I bet it's going to go to Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
I fucking hope it doesn't go to Zoe Saldana and Emilia Perez.
Yeah. I don't know.
She won the Golden Globe. Remember?
She did. I know. I saw people were pissed.
Her speech was wild, dude.
Oh,
it was the most
exasperated speech
I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I asked about this, but I already forgot. What was her shtick with the speech again? She just threw a fit or something like that? I don't really remember.
I think she just wasn't expecting to win, and when she did, she was like,
she was very emotional.
She was like hyperventilating, you know. It was a little
Now
it was kind
remember.
Of like it was like they like me, they really like me energy, but times 10 almost, you know.
Was she just like, oh my god, I didn't know this movie was gonna get awards, it's so bad. All right, let's move on to animated feature film, which there is one obvious snub, which I will get to. We starting off, we have
two.
Okay, yeah, we have Flo, We have Inside Out 2. We have Memoir of a Snail. We have Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul. And we have The Wild Robot. First snub, which I know Tim's going to talk about, is Look Back.
I like the movie about anxiety.
I like the movie about emotions.
That being said, I'm very pissed that I'm pissed, but I'm not surprised that Look Back didn't get a nomination. First of all, it was barely in the theaters for like a week, maybe even less than that. And plus, it's like weeb shit. The Academy can barely tolerate Miyazaki movies. They nominate his movies out of pure obligation because
he's an
artist people really love and connect with. They're not going to nominate fucking weeb shit that only anime nerds are super excited about, but also regular film
also
people.
Hardly feature length.
It was just wasn't going to happen. I mean, but it's still
like
technically a feature
right?
length. Yeah, it's technically a feature length, so it could have been nominated. It just wasn't going to, because, you know, the stacks are against it.
I mean, at least you got cool the kind of other ones like Memoir of a Snail and Flow. Which
I'm really
seen,
happy
but...
that. Yeah, I'm really happy Memoir of a Snail got nominated, but it's not going to win. I am confident. I will bet $1,000 that it's not going to win. I want it to, but it's not going to. It's going to go to The Wild Robot, 100%.
You think so?
I'm that confident. Yeah.
I hope
like,
it doesn't
think,
go to Inside Out 2. That would make me cry.
No, well, I mean, Inside Out 2 is like a safe bet because let's be real, the Academy voters don't give a shit about animation. They don't give a shit about the genre. They just let their kids pick whichever one should win. So I wouldn't be surprised if Inside Out 2, but I would say The Wild Robot has a better chance because just purely because The Wild Robot got nominated for a bunch of other awards for some reason. And I was like, okay, I guess that's an indicator. But I think Flo also got another nomination for something else. I think best case scenario, Flo would win because Memoir of a Snail isn't going to win, but I bet you that The Wild Robot's going to win just purely because it was big enough of a success that general audiences are aware of the film, but it also technically has enough artistic merit where they can be like, yeah, this movie gets it or whatever. So
is The Wild Robot Flo like The Jungle Book for robots or
I think it's like
kind of
oh man, I saw someone else describe it like it's basically some other story. I don't know.
It's a robot who gets raised in the wild, right? That's
a robot
it,
lady.
No,
she becomes
the
a
robot
mom to nature.
Yeah, the robot gets dumped into the woods, and the robot's like, "I'm a robot," but then the animals are like, "No, we're animals.
We're
and
furries.
Connect with shit." It was fine. It was the most fine whatever DreamWorks movie in a while, and I was just like, "People really like this for some reason. Great, cool, whatever." I didn't see Inside Out 2 because I like valuing my time and I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
I saw
Flo
it.
Was pretty decent. I think I talked about this film like a couple episodes back. I recommend you guys watch it whenever you get the chance. I think it's less than 90 minutes. It's a short commitment. It's an hour and 15, I think, at best. So, and
Bring
then, yeah,
back
the,
shorter
the new
movies.
Wallace and, and then the Wallace and Gromit movie. I was honestly really disappointed with this film because I'm a huge Wallace and Gromit fan. Like I unironically think The Wrong Trousers is like one of the best movies ever. I really love that short. And then you also have A Close Shave and Curse of the Were-Rabbit. But this just wasn't it. I liked parts of it. There were parts I really admired and really enjoyed watching, but overall this was just like, it felt like some B team was working on this and there was no sauce. It was a sauceless Wallace and Gromit film, I'll just say.
Mm. Okay. The let's move on to cinematography. We have The Brutalist by LOL Crawley. We have Dune Part 2 by Greg Fraser, Emilia Perez, Paul Guillaume, Maria by Ed Lachman, and Nosferatu by Jaron Blaschke.
I would shock like, Nosferatu even got a nomination to,
I'm,
to
that's
begin
like
with.
One of the only ones it got.
I would but like I, to see Nosferatu win. You know, like it's time that guy's an excellent DP. He should really get some recognition, I think.
Is he the same one that Eggers has been using every time? Really? Okay.
Probably.
Yeah, they're buddies. Yeah, he's got a great, especially Nosferatu, especially those like night sequences with Nicholas Holt, like when he's arriving at the castle are so gorgeous. They look like paintings.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't think Nosferatu was that well shot. I don't know why it got a nomination.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I'll just go kill
let us have fun.
I think Dune looks great.
Dune Part 2, I wouldn't be mad if that won. Did Dune Part 1 win a cinematography Oscar?
I don't think so. Right?
It wasn't really nominated for much at all. It definitely didn't get any of the big ones. Dune Part 2 got way more nominations.
Dune.
I remember Dune Part 1 got like Best Picture nomination, right? Or
I think it
I
did.
I don't remember.
Dune Part 2? Yeah.
No,
both
Part 1.
Dunes.
Part 1. Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm pretty
sure.
No,
he won.
Yeah.
I think he won Best Cinematography.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I can't see it right now. But anyway.
Either way, it's going to...
At the beginning of the year, I remember thinking that Dune was going to sweep. Just because, like, remember in March when Dune came out, it was like everyone had Dune fever, you know?
Yeah.
And then...
The spice must flow.
Like, looking ahead at the rest of the 2024 slate, it was like, it kind of seemed pretty light. I remember thinking, all right, it's coming out in March, so that's always kind of... That's going to be held against it come, you know, Oscar season, but... I don't know. I remember feeling like this might hold water, but now it seems like it's not even in the conversation for most of these awards, which is kind of a bummer to me because I mean, especially Villeneuve, we'll get to that, but I think he should have been nominated for Best Director. You know?
The fact that Challengers didn't get a nomination makes me furious.
Yeah, the cinematography is pretty sick.
Yeah.
It'll
probably go to the Brutalist because the film's being hyped up as like, oh, it's shot on VistaVision. It's, you know, it's the first since end of Evangelion, if you can believe it or not. So they really were hyping up sort of the camera work and the cinematography using like very old cameras with this. And to give it credit, it is very well shot. I think the film visually looks gorgeous. I don't have it like... I'm very mixed on The Brutalist because I think on a technical level, there's a lot to appreciate. It's my issues just more stems from the narrative and writing perspective more than anything. But I can save those thoughts whenever you guys watch The Brutalist and I can have another conversation about this.
Do you like Brutalist architecture, Tim?
I don't know. I was trying to do a balls joke, but I
thought
got
your
nothing.
Fucking brain just fried.
My brain is fried right now. I'm so so whatever. Let's just move on. I'm so
Okay. Costume design. We have a complete unknown, Conclave, Gladiator 2, and Nosferatu and Wicked. Going to Wicked 100%.
Honestly, weirdly, Gladiator 2 was really impressive on that regard. That's like the one thing I thought was great in it.
I think it would be the most boring win.
It would be a very boring win.
Nosferatu would be a sick win because I love the costumes in Nosferatu. But being realistic, I can almost guarantee it's going to Wicked because they have the most costumes, and that's usually how the Oscars judges things.
I was gonna say, wouldn't a complete unknown be that because it has the most costumes that they have? They're wearing all the 60s or 70s, whenever the fuck the film takes place.
Yeah,
they're
but
wearing
those are
the
just
period
real people clothing.
Yeah, you can
make cool costumes.
You can go to any thrift store in the village and get those Bob Dylan-esque clothes. So
just raid a hipster's closet and you'll find
I think
some.
The Nosferatu costuming was great.
Yeah.
I think it was good too.
Aaron Taylor-Johnson looked like an actual plantation owner from the 1800s to me. That's what he was giving like Calvin Candy vibes to me.
Thought he was a dog owner.
No, I know. I'm just saying that he just looked like that. Like he had that, energy
okay.
to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to directing, which is honestly probably going off of history of the Oscars. Whoever wins Best Director is usually going to win Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
So
not necessarily.
We have, I mean, generally though, that's almost certainly what happens.
I
like,
know.
Most
I'm
of
just,
the time,
I'm just,
that happens.
I just
given
to
my
be a
two
dick,
cents.
I'm sorry.
Damn it. So we're going to start off Sean Baker for Anora, Brady Corbet for The Brutalist, James
Brady
Mangold
Corbett.
For a complete. James Mangold
Again,
for
I
Complete
just
Unknown.
To
oh, fuck. Jacques Audiard for Amelia Perez and Colory Fargyat for The Substance. Fuck.
Tim, right. How do you say that one?
You did. I don't know.
I'm
American,
going for Sean Baker
French.
Just because I'm a fucking huge Sean Baker fanboy.
I'm a big
Anora was probably my favorite movie of last year. So.
Nah.
That just got a Criterion Collection copy, I think.
He's the second lamest pick to win this one, if I'm being honest. It would be funnier if the Amelia Perez director won it instead of Sean Baker. That would just be funny to me.
What's the part in Anora when she's like, what's going on with all these Russian guys? Is that a part of the movie?
I haven't seen Anora.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm the only one.
She says,
I want to
she says Russian with a New Jersey accent plenty of times, so it might as well have been.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, honestly, if Coralie Farguet wins Best Director while the Oscars are going, I'm going to immediately get hyped up thinking The Substance is winning. That's all I'm saying.
Like, she won't.
It's going to be the Bruins' director, probably.
The Substance is not going to win Best Picture.
I'm just saying, I'm really optimistic.
I really, really want her to win. You don't know how badly I want her to win. She's my favorite out of all these picks. It'll probably go to Brady Corbett or Sean Baker.
Maybe the Oscars old guys will be like, well, if we pick a woman, we'll get them points. So they might, and then it's a win for us.
They already did that with Catherine Bigelow. They already gave a woman an award. They don't need to do it again.
Yeah. Also, one in 30 years.
You know, during the ceremony when they show a clip from the movie while they're like, and you know, they show like the Substance or whatever. Yeah. I hope they show a close up of Dennis Quaid eating shrimp. I think about that a lot. Just how disgusting his mouth looks when he eats shrimp. It's really gross.
Best Dennis Quaid performance because he was just being himself.
clearly haven't seen Reagan.
Oh yeah, good point. yeah. Anyway, let's move on to did anyone see any documentaries this year? Because I did not.
There are a couple of documentaries that I've been meaning to watch and I just haven't gotten the chance to. Actually, no, I saw one of them, No Other Land. Highly, highly recommend it. It's a very visceral, very
okay,
just gut-wrenching documentary. I saw that at NIFF. It was really great. The Black Box Diaries has been on my watch list for a while. I heard that was great as well, so I'll probably watch that. I mean, I'm going to watch all of these because I am contractually obligated to watch everything that gets nominated, but I would say, yeah, Black Box Diaries, I'm excited to watch. And then the rest I'm not too familiar with.
Yeah, I've not heard of any of these. All right, let's breeze by. Let's go into film editing. So we have Anora by Sean Baker, The Brutalist, David Jantzko, Conclave, Nick Emerson, Amelia Perez, Juliette Welfling, and Wicked Myron Kirstein.
What when you guys see a good movie, what's like the biggest marker of good editing? Like how do you gauge that?
I think that depends on the movie and what they're going for.
Yeah, I feel like it varies.
I think there's a level of if I notice the editing and it's taking me out, then I'm like, you fucking failed. And I'd say it's good if I don't even think about it, if it just feels natural. And then when it's taken to like another level where I'm like, holy shit, this is so fucking cool how they're like telling this story, then it's like really, really good to me.
I mean,
it just depends.
The most basic things I notice is like how long they'll like stay on shots and how often the frames are switching. Like,
yeah. This is another one of those Luca Guadagnino got robbed one because the Challengers editing is so good.
It's about
time. I think Challengers and Queer had amazing editing. I don't know why neither of those movies got nominated for that.
I think Anora has to win, bro. I mean, it literally had the best editing of the year.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I think it's going to go to Amelia Perez. Moving on to international feature
film.
Yeah. I don't know any of these but two. We have I'm Still Here from Brazil, The Girl with the Needle from Denmark, Amelia Perez, of course, from France, The Seed of the Sacred Fig from Germany, and Flo from Latvia.
Being nominated is fucking based. I think that is really cool that Flo, an animated film gets nominated for international.
What makes The Substance not count as a foreign film? It's like entirely
it's an American production. MUBI is a French company
and it was shot entirely in France. It just has American actors.
Doesn't matter. It's an American production, which is why
it's literally not an American production. The money that made it is not from America. It was not shot in America,
but it's set in America.
You can't just say it's an American production. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Because
I didn't make up the fucking rules, okay? This is their world. I'm just telling you what they would say.
Maybe they get to pick or something if they want to, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, but what makes it an American production, though?
If they have an American flag in it.
It's just the vibe.
They have to do the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of every film.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to makeup and hairstyling.
Oh, I was just about to say, I've seen... I've seen two of these. Seed of Sacred Fig I saw at NIFF. It was very great. I highly recommend you watch that one whenever you guys get the chance. I think it's out on digital. I don't know, but I thought it was great. Okay. It was quite a banger. And then I need to watch I'm Still Here. Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of good things about I'm Still Here. I don't know anything about it, but that's one I keep.
Yeah, it was available at New York Film Festival. I was thinking about maybe watching it, but I was just so burnt out with so many like political dramas. I did not want to watch another one.
Yeah.
But now that I've heard it's great, now I missed out. So
that's the same name as the Joaquin Phoenix documentary that he did with Casey Affleck, right? Remember that he did that when he did that whole social experiment thing when he had like the giant beer and he went on David Letterman and was like chewing gum.
Oh no, I think it's I'm. Oh, wait, is that what it was?
I think it's called I'm Still Here.
I'm not. Sure. I think it's called I'm Not Here. I'm Not Here, right? Or
I think it is I'm Still Here.
Yeah, because he made a song about it, like I'm still here through these years.
Remember when
he was a rapper for a while.
JAUQUIN.
That movie rules, by the way. I love that.
Oh, yeah. It's called I'm Still Here.
Or J-A-O.
I haven't seen it. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then he has another movie called You Were Never Really Here. So
that movie's pretty good.
Yeah. Guy doesn't
he just
know where
likes
he
movies with the word here.
Here. He should be in the sequel to I Am Here Now by Neil Breen.
Hell yeah.
All right. Makeup and hairstyling. We have A Different Man. We have Emilia Perez, Nosferatu, The Substance, and Wicked.
Have you guys seen A Different Man? A Different
that's
Man.
That's the one
awesome.
With Sebastian Stan, right? Or is that the monkey?
Great. Yeah.
No, that's a Better Man.
No, that's Better Man. That's Better A Different Man is A Different Man is with Sebastian Stan. I wanted to watch it. I just never got the chance to see it. I'll probably watch it before the Oscars.
It's on Max now.
When so are they, by the way?
Oh, it is sick.
It's like March. It's the beginning of March, I think. First of March.
Does anyone have any opinions on this? I don't know. Maybe Nosferatu. Any of these you'd be fine with.
I mean,
just give it to Wicked because it had, like you said, it had the most makeup and the most hairstyling.
The makeup in A Different Man was really impressive considering it's a lower budget, mid to lowerish budget movie. I would like to see that win. I would highly, highly recommend that movie. I really, really loved it. One of my favorites. If we did the favorites of 2024 episode before I saw that, would have been on my list for sure.
Yeah. Cool. The second half of The Substance in its entirety is why I think it should win for just makeup alone.
Yeah. I think they should give it makeup just purely because they got a giant face monster to wear
spoilers.
A dress. And I think that, oh, sorry, spoilers. Forget what I just heard.
Ari Aster should have been nominated for the penis monster in Beau Is Afraid.
I think that's more visual
his
effects
movie,
than makeup.
Not Ari Aster. Fucking what's the fucking the lobster dude? Yorgos? Didn't he do that movie with fucking whatever the fuck her name is?
Kinds of Kindness.
Kinds of Kindness. Didn't have some good makeup in that?
I have not seen it.
Really.
Got nothing this year.
Yeah.
I don't like him very much, but that movie looked cool. From the trailer,
I remember Poor Things got a bunch of nominations. That was very well deserved. I don't think it won, right? I don't think it won anything. Now that I think
Poor
about
Things,
it.
I thought Poor Things won Best Picture.
No,
did it? I don't think so.
Oppenheimer won Best Picture.
Oh well, yeah, I'm way.
Yeah,
from
yeah,
for
that
some
was
reason.
It.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go on to music. I want your input, Nick, since you're the music guy. Best original score. We have The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Wicked, The Wild Robot, and no fucking Challenger score.
No Dune either.
Oh, yeah. Well, they disqualified that because they said they reused songs from part one.
Mm.
So they were like, doesn't count. Yeah.
That's
but,
fucking
dude,
lame.
I feel so bad for Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. This was such an easy
I have
slot
no,
in.
Yeah. I have no idea why Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross didn't get nominated because the score is arguably the best thing about Challengers. I mean, there's a lot of great things about it, but the score is what I really remember most out of anything in that film.
And
the fact that it's
not
nominated is kind of yeah, so do I. I still, whenever I go for a jog, I like listening to the Match Point song that they play near the end of the film. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure Culture Nick, you can tell us how amazing the music was in Emilia Perez.
Yeah, I can go into the iambic pentameter of the penis to vagina song if you guys really want. But yeah, I don't know. I like the music from Challengers. I don't think I liked it as much as everybody else, but it just felt like kind of this might be a little bit derogatory, but like kind of just like paint by numbers, like electronic dance music to me. I was like, all right, it fits the movie well. It didn't like wow me though on a musical level, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah.
It's just it's a unique sound. It's unique for a score because usually it doesn't go that hard on like the techno edge of things in movie scores, which is cool to see. And it was certainly a choice, but it definitely like, and from compositionally, it didn't really blow me away, I guess. That's all.
Sure.
I feel like Dune's like the only film that actually had like a real good score. So like, I don't care about this that much.
I don't know why The Wild Robot got nominated for score. I barely remember anything about the music for that movie.
I don't even know what, like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like anyone has big, strong opinions on the score of any of these options. So, I don't know. Was Conquest's score
actually good? I actually do kind of like the score for The Brutalist, because I was actually re-listening to some of the themes while I was taking my jog. And to give it credit, it does a great job of selling sort of the tones that it's going for. Like, I'm sure you guys saw this in the trailers, but they play this like epic da 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 da, you know, throughout the film, and you know, it's a really good piece of music. I think the music, I remember the music quite well throughout the film, because it definitely changed kind of what I was going for throughout the film. Like at times it was had this big bombastic horn theme, and then other times it was much more quieter using the piano, and then other times it felt like screeches on a chalkboard. And I mean that as a good thing, because it definitely felt more sinister at certain points. So yeah, I would say probably my vote would go to The Brutalist. I did like the score a lot. In terms of Conclave, I barely remember anything about the music for that movie.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of if the music stood out to me, and it didn't really. But I kind of watch movies on low volume sometimes, especially if I'm like watching something next to my girlfriend who's sleeping. So I can't really hold that against the music, you know? It's like subtitles and low volume.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter, because it's probably going to go to Wicked, because the most music, it was everywhere.
It doesn't even make sense to me, because like, I'm like, Wicked was a stage play, like a musical, like beforehand, and they just took the songs and turned them into, anyway.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that the Academy isn't consistent with their own rules? That's crazy.
I know. I don't have any strong opinions. Should we even mention original song?
No. Sure.
Penis,
go ahead.
Penis to vagina. Do that one.
I was just that one's up there.
Is it actually?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. It's one like, other one from win. Amelia Perez.
And the Oscar goes to Penis to Vagina.
Amelia Perez. It's called Le Vaginoplasty. I think that's what it's called. Oh, yeah, God. Le Vaginoplastia. Got nominated for El Mal, and it got nominated for Mi Camino. And then Elton John got nominated for Never Too Late. I don't even know what movie that's from.
I just want Elton John.
It's from his documentary. Yeah.
Honestly, they should just nominate. They should nominate the Gran Torino song every year, just as a tribute to how amazing that song
is. What's the Gran Torino song?
The one that Clint Eastwood sings at the end. He's like, "I'm my Gran Torino." You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't fucking remember this at all. I mean, I purged most of Gran Torino from my brain anyway, so I'll believe you.
All right, let's move on to writing for Best Original Screenplay. We have The Substance, written by Coralie Farghiat. We have September 5th by Moritz... I'm not going to read all their names. September 5th, we have A Real Pain, we have The Brutalist, and we have Anora.
I mean, I still would like to see A Real Pain. I know Tim doesn't like that one, but
Kieran and Culkin.
I want to see it too. I want to see it really bad. But I don't think the writing in The Substance is what made it good at all.
No, I don't think that was the standout element. It's good, but it's not like why I watched that movie.
Yeah, I mean, the writing does a great job in the sense that it sells the over the top tone, and it sells the hyper satirical nature that it's going for. But yeah, like you guys are saying, I would agree with that. I The writing is great, but it's not the thing that I remember about the film. What is September 5th? I don't know what this shit is.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either.
Wait, is this adapted screenplay or original?
This is original screenplay.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. We can move on to adapted screenplay, though. We can start with Complete Unknown, Conclave, Nickel Boys, Sing Sing, and Emilia Perez.
I think Conclave has a really, really tight script. I really do.
Oh, yeah. That's like the one Nickel Boys nom.
Yeah, I'm shocked Nickel Boys got nominated at all.
It got nominated for Best Picture.
I was shocked by that, too. Oh, yeah. I was, like, surprised. I was like, holy shit, cool. This is awesome. Right.
We'll save that. But I don't know, was Complete Unknown interesting enough to get a best screenplay?
No, definitely not.
You liked that one, too, right?
I did like it. It just came out at the right time. It came out on Christmas, which is totally intentional. If that movie came out over the summer, it wouldn't be getting all this buzz. That's for sure.
You know, I'm going to be honest.
Not for all this stuff. Maybe Chalamet. Just Chalamet.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. When I haven't seen the movie, but when I think about this movie and how it was written, all I can think about is Culture Nick's video on the skit that he made about the, oh my God, he just sang Blowing in the Wind or whatever. And it's like, I can imagine the writing is just that for the entire fucking movie.
I'm pretty sure even James Mangold was like kind of talking shit on his own movie. I read some like interview he did where he's talking about like, audiences won't let us make good shit anymore. They don't want good shit.
They want slop.
Yeah,
so that's what he said. Like he said we made a fucking dumbass movie for these stupid
fuck
idiots.
Fuck you, Timothy Chalamet, you're a little bitch.
It was like a week ago. I was reading. I was just like, why did he say that?
As he's going to make a Star Wars movie, and I guess doesn't care about the lore. Yeah,
he's making a DC Swamp Thing movie. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would personally like to Nickel Boys to win because I did like the writing a lot in that film, but it's not going to win because what the Academy wants and what I want is just so completely different.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, based on your movie recommendation later.
All right. Let's move on to... We only got a few categories left. We got production design for The Brutalist, Conclave, Doom Part 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked.
This has to go to Doom Part 2. They gotta give it something.
Maybe. We'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if Wicked wins this again, because again, it has one of the most production designs, because there's just a lot of props and sets, and that's it.
But I wouldn't be surprised. Dune can't lose it. Like, all the fucking big ass sets with like the arena and everything in Part 2 was like so fucking nice, bro.
Yeah. It's got that like maximalist, minimalist style, and it's so fucking sick. But yeah, that specifically, like you were saying, the arena scene, so cool.
I wouldn't consider anything in Dune Part 2 minimalist, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
No. It's a minimalist, maximalist style. You know what I mean? Like everything's maximum, but everything's like minimalist style. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I guess so. Yeah.
It perfectly exemplifies the repercussions of the Butlerian jihad that happened 8,000 years before Paul Atreides' birth, which of course was the battle against the humans against the thinking machines. So, in case anyone wanted a primer on that.
Thank you. Sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the Brutalist won this, though.
Yeah, I'm hoping Nosferatu gets one thing. Just one. Like, they really deserve something. I think I got fucking snubbed in a lot of these categories.
But, sorry. Right, what did you think got snubbed?
I want Nosferatu to get one win.
Yeah.
I think he deserves
I honestly think he might win for cinematography. Like, it was really
That'd be sick. It was really pretty.
And it could be one of those legacy awards, because I think he, you know, The Lighthouse is incredible. The Witch is incredible in terms of cinematography. They might remember that, I think, when they're both.
Yeah, Lighthouse got massively. I think it get a cinematography nom? And that was
I remember the only nomination The Lighthouse got was Best Cinematography, and it didn't even win that one.
Yeah, I think that was it. I was kind of annoyed by that. Let's move on to sound, which is going to be a complete unknown. There's a lot of sound out of that little Tim Cham's mouth. We have Dune Part 2, Wicked, The Wild Robot, and Emilia Perez.
I like the sound out of that kid's mouth. I gotta be honest
good
with you.
That's some Oscar sounds going out of his
Dune's
mouth.
He's what? I don't even like Dune, and I think Dune's gonna win this. So
Yeah. I probably win just for that part when there goes like Fade Ralpha or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just whatever's the loudest of these movies, it will win sound because that's how the Academy thinks about this shit.
Remember when he was like, may thy knife chip and shatter. Remember when they're doing the duel?
May thy knife chip and shatter.
Yeah.
That was a good sound. Yeah. It was a lot of cool sounds.
Yeah. All right. Do we have anything else?
Nope.
Guys, cool if you think about it, we're just making sounds right now.
We should get an Oscar nominee. We're making so many good sounds right now.
We should get nominated for a best sound Oscar night.
The most sounds in any podcast goes to Hate to Interrupt.
Blasting fucking Alex Jones at the beginning. Nobody does that.
All right, we have one more before Best Picture. Best Visual Effects. So we have Alien Romulus, Dune Part 2, Wicked, and two monkey movies. We have Better Man and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Wait,
I hope it goes to Dune.
Wait, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes came out?
Yeah, it came out in summer.
Oh, don't worry, I also forgot about the movie.
I don't think anyone saw it. I think it did okay, actually. But yeah,
it did decently.
Monkey movie. Yeah. Two monkey movies in 1 year. That's pretty good for visual effects.
True
monkey
came out.
Yeah, this came out. The one where he's riding a horse and there's like it's post-apocalyptic.
Didn't Better Man only earn like $10 million at the box office on a $110 million budget or whatever?
Oh yeah, didn't you guys see that?
No, I want to see it because I've heard it's actually not bad.
I'm not going to go see it in theater on principle, but I will watch it.
I heard that, I think it was Paramount who produced it. They were just like, we kind of had a feeling it would bomb, but we just thought it was kind of a fun idea.
I'll watch a monkey do anything. That's refreshing.
I watch monkey videos on TikTok all day, so I will watch a movie about one singing.
What about Alien Romulus?
Alien Romulus being on this? Fuck you. No, this should not have. I don't know why this was nominated for Best Visual Effects.
The shitty
in-home deepfake AI shit that they did, that alone was the ugliest piece of shit ever. Makes it disqualified.
I actually didn't mind that. What killed it for me is at the end when they did the like humanoid alien thing. I think that looked like
that
shit.
That was practical.
That was more visually appealing than the fucking ugly-ass AI Ian Holm shit. I don't know what you're talking about.
If they got rid of the Ian Holm deep fake on a puppet, would it be worthy of a nom then, Tim?
No, I still don't even think that because like the rest of the movie is
putting your biases aside. Do you think it visually has really impressive visual effects?
I remember being extremely impressed by the first like half hour of that movie. I was like,
I think the practical effects in it are really fucking nice for the most part.
I remember the production design more than I do the visual effects. Like I remember the sets and I remember like the spaceships that they're in, but in terms of like actual visual effects, there is nothing significant or outstanding about like any of that shit.
That's true. Visual
effects, I agree with that, but I also visual effects like do count like practical effects and like set design and shit like that, like things that they actually have to craft.
Yeah, but that goes under production design.
But that goes to production. Those are two different things.
Yeah, because like practical effects are makeup and hairstyling. So I would love if Alien got nominated for best
building a house
styling.
For characters. Yeah, building a house for characters to be in and an explosion are not the same thing.
Unless you actually explode the house with actors in it, and then that's practical.
Yes,
like Oppenheimer.
Michael Bay would totally have done that shit.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan absolutely blasted Cillian Murphy with a nuclear bomb, so it should win best to the practical effect.
They actually killed all of Japan by dropping real nuclear bombs.
And then they didn't film it.
The lens cap was on. They kind of fucked up there.
What fucking pussies. They didn't even bother showing us all the dead people.
All right, let's move on to the one and only best picture. Here we go. Nominations. We have Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked.
I think it's such bullshit that Dune Part 2 isn't even in the conversation right now.
What could win?
Yeah, it's like it's not even a possibility that it could win, which is a bummer to me. I personally think it deserves it. I think Dune Part 2 is like a momentous cinematic occasion this year. Probably the biggest one of the year. Like, remember how it felt when Dune came out? I mean, obviously Nick didn't feel anything, but most people felt a lot of.
Because Nick's a fucking soulless hack.
I also partially didn't feel much, but I just don't have a soul.
I'm with you, Culture Nick. I felt it. I was there premiere night. I went there, and it was an electric energy in the theater.
Yeah,
I'm upset that 2049 didn't win Best Picture. Like, that was his, like, he's never going to make a better movie than 2049. And it sucks.
I don't even think it got nominated, so it wouldn't have won anyway.
It got nominated for Best Visuals. I think that was it.
I think Doom Part 2 is better than 2049.
I have to rewatch 2049. I haven't seen it in years.
It is.
2049 is a perfect movie.
Yeah.
So is Doom Part 2.
I don't know. Have you seen all of Villeneuve's filmography, Nick?
Like the vast majority of it.
Have you seen Enemy?
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
There's like one of his.
I haven't seen that.
Seen like what's the his first very first one?
It's like a
Polytechnic.
Yeah.
Was Polytechnic before Incendie?
Polytechnic was before Incendie, which I haven't seen either.
Okay.
Some of them are. I need to rewatch. I've only seen Prisoners and Sicario like once, and I haven't thought about them since then. I'll probably give them a rewatch at some point.
I don't think I've disliked a single thing he's made. So
I haven't seen Enemy. I heard people liked that one. I'll give it a watch.
I love Enemy.
Yeah, well, one of you can recommend Spider-Man it at some point.
Yeah, it's really cool. But I don't know. I think I wouldn't be. Could you imagine how funny it would be though if Emilia Perez won Best Picture?
I think it should win.
We've been saying that for like six other times. It would be
funny.
I know,
but now we're actually in the right category.
You know what would be funny though, if they did, like, if they gave it the, because I am kind of disappointed that, actually not that disappointed, since the Academy likes embarrassing themselves by picking the worst shit ever to win Best Picture, The Greatest Show on Earth, Green
Crash.
Book. Crash, you know, Driving Miss Daisy, all this other shit, you know. So I think it would be for the funnies if Emilia Perez won and the Academy was like, look, we love trans people, but then it's just like that.
Have you seen all the memes that have been pointing out that Emilia Perez has more Oscar nominations than like Return of the King, even Citizen Kane, Jaws? Has more nominations than all of those movies.
Oh, man.
I think it has as many nominations as Joker, right? I'm going to look this up.
I think it's 13 nominations, which is crazy.
I think that's what the number was.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. I mean, who knows? I might secretly think it's amazing. I might love it whenever I get around to watching it at some point.
I mean, the sad part for me is like the majority of these movies that are being nominated are things that I was not interested in seeing at all.
Yeah, well, you should. I mean, I think Conclave is actually really great. It's a cool story about old guys in the Vatican trying to decide who should be pope. It's a cool movie. It's like a dad
movie. How many
of
these have you guys seen?
I have seen Dune Part 2 and The Substance and Wicked. So I've seen 3 of 10.
Okay.
I think I've seen 3 out of 10. But I try to make a point to see them all before I.
Yeah, I'm going to try to see a handful.
Yeah, same here, because I've seen 6 of these, and 3 of them are movies I never wanted to watch anyway, but now the Academy is forcing me to watch them. And then one of them I was going to watch at some point anyway, that being I'm Still Here. I had no interest in watching either Wicked or fucking, what was the other shit called?
Emilia Perez?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I forgot about it. Yeah,
how
I had
could
zero
you ever forget
interest
about Emilia Perez.
How could I? I'm such a piece of shit. a complete unknown. I also had zero interest in watching that, but now I guess I have to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well,
I'll just watch Nick's video like for an hour and a half, and then that'll be it.
Yeah, I think I would rather do that as well.
Which ones have you seen, Nick?
Anora, fucking Timothy Chalamet. Fucking Dune.
You saw the Timothy Chalamet movie?
Yeah, I saw it like 2 days ago. And then I saw Substance.
Did you like A Complete Unknown, Nick?
It was okay.
Riveting.
I like Timothy Chalamet. I don't know. I thought he was okay.
I think
it's
this.
Not my thing.
I think he's cute.
He's a little cutie patootie. My wife and I see everything he's in. We like him. Honestly, I think this this year's Joker that's going to not win Best Picture, and like the fans are going to get super pissed off, is going to be Wicked, because they were fucking pissed when it lost Golden Globes, and they were, I mean, they were more pissed at Emilia Perez, which is valid, but I don't think Wicked should win everything. And it just is one of those films that has a big fan base that don't actually watch award shows.
Wait, does the Oscars also have like the popular cinematic achievement award, like the Golden Globes?
No, they were going to do that, but then they scrapped that.
That they created that for Black Panther to win, and then people made fun of them, and then they just didn't do it.
Well, Black Panther was nominated for Best Picture, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, they did it because of the culture. The kids liked it.
It made a Black Panther billion dollars.
We can say that movie is like not good now, right?
It's very mid.
It's not that good.
I've been saying
that
for a while.
It's like a 5 out of 10 at best. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all white, so we're fucked, dude. But I'm just saying. Wow. Oh, sorry. Tim's Asian. Holger Nick is Italian, so me and VHS Nick are fucked.
I'm not
white. I don't like Black Panther.
Are you saying Italians are not white?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Luigi Mannione got charged with terrorism, so he's technically not white anymore.
That's true. Yeah. So I'm glad I can be the token. I'm reminded I'm the token non-white guy on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the.
What do you guys? Sorry. What do you guys think will win Best Picture? I forgot.
Yeah, let's
to
put
ask,
our bets but, down. Like,
but
what
that's
is your
also
lock?
Like how little I care about this. See, I mean, I very rarely care about the Oscars anyway. And looking at this list, I'm like, yeah, it sounds about right. This is about what I expected.
I'll say the Brutalist.
I guess the Brutalist is probably gonna win.
Yeah, I also say Brutalist.
It's got all the momentum.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say The Substance. I know I'm going to be way fucking wrong, but could you imagine how good it's going to feel if I'm right? So I'm going
to
stick with that.
Dude, I wish. I wanted it to. Do you know how wrong I was? Like, so I was betting money on the, I think it was the 2020 Oscars. And I was like, look, Parasite got nominated for all this shit, but it's not going to win any of them because it's a Korean movie and, you know, asking Americans, old Americans at the Academy to watch a foreign film in of itself is already a challenge. I was like, so I'll probably just say 1917 or some shit that will probably win. And they just won everything. And I was like, hell yeah. I'm so glad to lose money.
I don't think anybody actually expected Everything Everywhere All at Once to win.
I was like excited for it. It was like they won Best Director, and then that led to that. Same with Parasite. So I'm just hoping
that
if she wins Best Director.
I was less surprised by. I mean, I still was very happy with that, but I was less surprised by that because I think that was just more. Everyone kept talking about the movie. Everyone was saying like, "Oh, you gotta watch Everything Ever All at Once." Like I remember even when the movie like came out months ago, people were still talking about it. So I think like the word of mouth is what made me realize, yeah, this will probably win. And it won. Yeah. And I was very happy. Yeah.
Most people I knew in person had not seen it. But I also don't surround myself with a lot of film people. So
I love that movie.
What the fuck are we?
Me too. I mean,
just fucking creeps.
Y'all are new.
All right. Yeah, that's my lock. So you three say Brutalist. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Substance. Anyway. All right. Oscars chat done. Let's move on to The Wreck. Tim, do you want to introduce your film?
Yeah. So I recommended Neon Genesis Evangelion. Sorry. I meant Love and Pop. That's what I meant. I say that because when I was watching the film, I literally kind of sat there. I paused the movie and I was like, wait a minute, this is just fucking Evangelion. I'm not even mad because I was into this so much, but I was like, this is just Eva. But anyway,
what does that mean? I thought Eva was about giant fucking robots.
Watch the fucking
what the
show.
Fuck
then
does
you'll,
that mean?
You never know.
I'm just gonna lead off by saying I am never watching Evangelion.
No, yeah, let him introduce the film.
Okay, so Love and Pop is about stuff. How do I explain them? So basically, there's a girl and she's with her friends and they do shit. And then they were like, hey, why don't we prostitute ourselves and do all this other shit to make money to buy a ring? And they technically do that.
Well, what it's called
is shenanigans.
Compensated dating, which is like NG cosi. So basically, they go with these men and it's known to be a date. And they go meet these men and they pay them to go on a date with them. And as the movie progresses, they basically start, the men start asking them to do weirder and weirder things, and it just gets more and more sketchy as it goes on.
Yeah,
sounds about right. Yeah. So yeah, I hadn't seen this film. This has always been on my watch list for a while, but I really wanted to watch it because Ono is one of my favorite directors of all time. He's just one of my favorite artists in general, and so I figured this would be a perfect opportunity to recommend it. And then I sat down, I watched it, and I think like the first like 10 minutes, I wasn't really sure where this was going. I was like, I was curious, but I was a bit unsure of where things were going. But then like around the halfway point, I was not even the halfway point. I think once I started understanding what Ono was going for and like the overall presentation of the film, because like the film, I'm going to admit, it doesn't look great, you know, but that's the point as well, because they're filming on very super old digital cameras. It's like when 28 Days Later, they shot on super like cheap, like handheld digital cameras, you know, to get that grainy sort of aesthetic that fit the movie very well. They're going for something similar here. And at first I was a bit confused why Ono made that artistic choice. But then once I understood what he was going for, and once I understood the characters' motivations and their attachment towards like photography and camera specifically, I got super, super into it. And, you know, as the film goes on, I was connecting more and more. And then once the credits rolled, I was like, this is amazing. I think this is like one of the best movies I've ever seen. I quite love this one.
This is one of the best movies you've ever seen, Tim. Are you serious?
Yeah, for sure. Wow. Why not? Yeah, why not? There's a lot I really loved about it. I wasn't bored a single second. I was really, my eyes were glued to the screen. I really emotionally connected with not necessarily the characters and their actions themselves, but more what Ono was trying to communicate with their actions. So the reason why I'm calling this just Evangelion again is because, okay, I'm going to do my best not to spoil it, because I know Nick wants to watch Ava. Basically,
I want to watch Ava too.
Yeah, and I know you want to watch Ava too. So basically, Ono likes doing a lot of these postmodern experimental attempts at exploring the human psyche, and specifically exploring loneliness and isolation and our wants and needs to emotionally connect with other people, and you know, love not just each other but ourselves as well. He's really fascinated with these concepts, which makes sense because, you know, Ono himself is a really interesting cookie. He famously, when he was making Evangelion, he had gone through like a 4-year depression bender, and a lot of what Evangelion would eventually become is essentially kind of his own emotional turmoils and his own like raw depression and mental issues that he channeled that into something that encapsulated what he was feeling, but in a way that like felt artistically fulfilling but also made sense to people. Because Evangelion, you know, is still a fighting anime robot at the end of the day, but it's still it has so much more raw emotion that's trying to communicate these basic feelings that Ono had, that he wants others to feel, but and have these like conversations about depression, about loneliness, about isolation. And I think it's really interesting that Ono made this after Evangelion. So the year before this film came out. So this film came out in 1998, and End of Evangelion came out in 1997. And I think it's really interesting that he chose this film to be his follow-up project, because there is a lot of connecting tissues that I could see between this and Evangelion. Even in terms of like the presentation, like there were a lot of moments where it was just a blank screen and there was like writing on the blank screen. It was more just like, you know, this is what the characters are speaking, but we don't actually see the characters talking or hear them talking. He did that all the time in Evangelion, and so I was very surprised to see that, but it fit very well what he was going for. You know, like, just every single artistic choice that Ono made in this is just phenomenal. I was loving every single second of this, and I thought, yeah, this is... Okay, I have no qualms calling this the best movie ever.
Okay, so, just on, like, a level of, like, what this movie is about, is like completely fucked, and it like screams like social ineptitude. Like, this guy wants to make a movie that says so many fucking things, but the perspective of this movie is absolutely fucked up. Like, this movie is about how this culture, an otaku culture, whatever the fuck it is in Japan, is like so bad. It's terrible for these girls, and half of the fucking movie is upskirt shots of fucking 16-year-old girls. They fucking decide there's a guy who fucking that is the fucking point. What are you fucking talking about? He's doing the thing
film,
that he's talking
the
shit
girls
about.
Are being sexualized in the way they can't
let me finish my point.
Being sexualized by the director, though.
Yeah, they're being fucking sexualized by the director. There's a scene where a guy's fucking groping a little girl and he's fucking jerking off in a fucking video store. And what do? They start fucking flipping the camera upside down, fucking circling around the fucking store like it's a fucking joke. There's a guy at the fucking end who's like sexually assaulting a girl. They're switching the perspective between first person, between the victim and the fucking predator. Like, you're supposed to be in both of their shoes? That doesn't even make any fucking sense. Who are you supposed to even fucking identify with here? Then he has a
you're
fucking
supposed
speech
to identify
at the end.
With both.
He has a speech at the end that's obviously directly towards the audience. Like 100% his speech at the end is towards the fucking audience. And he's saying, well, you have so many people in your life that fucking would care about you. So you doing this is bad for them. It's like, dude, she shouldn't fear for her fucking life. The point of the movie shouldn't be that fucking everybody around you fucking is worried about you. It should be that you shouldn't be fucking worried to fucking go on a date and fucking feel like a dude's gonna fucking rape you. Like, the whole perspective of this movie is just insane. He doesn't understand the entire concept of what he's making a movie about. It pisses me off.
I feel if it sounds like, okay, I'm trying to, it sounds like the reason why you hated this movie is not necessarily the filmmaking or like the intent of it.
No, I think
it's
the
more
filmmaking
just
sucks
found,
too.
No, well, it just
I think
you found
layered,
the subject
I think the layered
matter
shots
uncomfortable.
Look like something...
Well, okay, well, it just sounded like you just found the subject matter uncomfortable, which that's perfectly fine. I'm not gonna knock you on that. Like, yeah, if a movie makes you uncomfortable and you can't handle those emotions, that's fine.
It doesn't.
But
no, that's not
the
what
point.
It is.
Like,
I think
the point,
that's not
that's
what he
entirely
said.
Entirely the
that's
point.
Not what I said.
No,
that's
I know
not
that's
what
not
said.
What you're saying, but I'm saying like. It is perfectly fine to not find the subject matter of the film like it.
But that's not my problem with the movie. My problem is the perspective that it's told through. My problem is that he's doing the things that he's saying are bad in the movie, and he's also not treating them with very much respect. And also the filmography fucking sucks. Like, or the cinematography fucking sucks. The layered shots looked fucking horrible. Him deciding to fucking squeeze shots down like this, like it's in fucking Windows Movie Maker made by a fucking child. It looked fucking horrible.
I thought it was really great. I really liked that scene. Okay, I'm gonna keep rambling about this movie. I want to get both Culture Nick and Ethan's thoughts on the movie.
You want to go, Ethan?
No, you go ahead.
I agree with a lot of what Nick said. I mean, from cinematography wise, it the entire time it was kind of like reminded me of a 90s skate video. I don't know if you guys remember skateboarding
a
lot,
like
but
big fisheye lenses.
Yeah, the insistence on really relying on the fisheye lens a lot was weird to me. It didn't really seem very complimentary to the movie. I don't know. I it's hard for me to get past the camcorder look. Like I don't. It doesn't feel cinematic to me. It makes me feel like I'm not watching a movie. And I guess maybe this is like a basic take, but I like things to look good. You know, I like when it looks clean and presentable. It makes me feel like I'm watching a movie and I'm like watching something that is worthy of me investing my time in. And there are like exceptions to that, but this definitely wasn't that for me. And also I totally agree with what Nick was saying. I mean, I think there's a way to tackle subject matter like this. I mean, conceptually, as you guys know, I think it's good that he's making a movie about these kinds of issues, because I've said this a bunch of times whenever we talk about things that are made in Japan, that this is kind of an issue that a lot of those creators have. But when, like Nick said, when you're doing upskirt shots every 2 seconds and doing these like weird, I don't know if it was sexualized, but all the fucking close-ups on them eating was also kind of grossing me out in a weird way. It felt very strange and kind of exploitative, and I was a little bit confused by that. But I don't know. It's kind of where I'm at on it.
Well, don't worry, Ethan. Tim. You got one guy in your corner.
Hell
I really
yeah!
Liked this.
The guy really with good this. Taste is joining forces with me. Hell yeah! No, I'm just kidding.
So I didn't love it like as much as you. I thought it was really good though. But I don't know. It took me probably like 5-10 minutes to buy into the camera angle premise. That's never really bothered me. You can give me the weirdest possible fucking camera angle. I mean, Nick, I'm a Joel Haver Glazer, so obviously I don't really fucking care how the movie.
I honestly didn't hate the digital camera look that much. I mean, for me, the problem with the camera work more so was like it impacted the direction too much. Like whenever they were doing like for example, you know that scene that started the guy who started fucking jerking off or whatever in the video store.
Yeah.
When they introduced him, they would like linger on shots for way too long because they wanted to hit so many different camera angles. And I think it like really impacted the actor's abilities to like perform.
I don't think I agree with that. Yeah, I just eventually kind of bought in
as like, it's, that's the style of the movie. I don't know. It just kind of felt natural to me after a certain point.
Yeah, I will say the editing took a while to get used. It took a bit to get used to because there was that point in the opening breakfast conversation where they're just like cutting back and forth like every per second. And I was like, what the hell? And normally I hate that shit. But the way that it's utilized in this, and like it's trying to get like different perspectives, because what I really found fascinating about how the film was shot is that it's almost kind of like detached. I don't get the vibe that it was Hanna was trying to sexualize what he's showing. I did not get that vibe at all.
What,
like,
is an upskirt shot then? What is like one of the first shots being literally a shot from her coochie's perspective?
I don't understand like why like that's an issue when the whole point of the film is that like it's commenting on how like
it's not that it's these, I'm not like, saying it's an issue. I'm saying that how do you not see it as sexualizing?
Well, the point of the film is that it's commenting on like especially these young high school girls are being sexualized at every moment. Like what I found particularly interesting. Yes, by the sure, but like it still fit what he was going for. It still thematically was appropriate. Like because every single moment of this film is just. You know, like the high school girls, whenever they can't even like walk down the street without being pestered by some guy who's just like, yo, I'll give you $5,000 if you have lunch with me or fucking whatever. And that's the point, like the way that the women are portrayed in this film, like from every angle, like I really found it interesting that this kind of reminded me of Perfect Blue in the sense that both Perfect Blue in this movie is like. Kind of like predicted like a lot of the incel culture that like is more prevalent like today. I mean, I'm sure there were people like there were definitely people like this in the past, but like to see them so upfront and disgusting, you know, especially the guy who just jerks off like in the store, which was just terrifying. I was just like, Jesus Christ, I am very uncomfortable right now. But like it kind of takes this very detached look on like, look, this is how society is, and this is how the types of people who would go out of their way to seek this shit out are not like, they're not good people, they're not normal functioning members of society, and you can see that. But what I like about the film is that it, like, you know, because Anno himself is a massive otaku, he's like the king. His relationship with otaku culture in of itself is like a fascinating thing, and I'm happy to go into it more either in this conversation or later. Basically, they're just huge mega nerds that like don't touch grass and just spend all their time like watching the thing that they're super into. So like whether it be anime or manga or like tokusatsu, like Kamen Rider, Godzilla type shit. Like basically they have a thing that they're so into.
They're
they
like
dedicate...
people that collect Funko Pops.
Yeah, like sure. Yeah, it's like the people who unironically get excited to go to Comic-Con or something like that, but in a more extreme lens. And I like how that's the perspective we're getting it from, because it makes for a very interesting viewpoint where I'm just like, yeah, all of this is really uncomfortable and all of this is just really fucking with my brain, fucking with my emotions and stuff. But nonetheless, like I think for what Anno is going for, it is very poignant, and I was really, really just heartbroken at every turn. Just like look at what these just not only just what these girls are being forced into, but like how they're portrayed by the movie itself. And I just found that very heartbreaking, but also just very artistically poignant as well.
But you don't think with those themes that they're touching on, it deserves a little bit more respect? Because what you do with your camera and how you actually present the information very much tells as much of a story as the actual. Like thing you're recording.
I think honestly for my argument for why I never found, because I was initially worried when it started doing like the underswing camera angles, and then I think it kind of clicked halfway through and I was like, okay, what's the point of this film? I didn't know what the synopsis was before going in, but as soon as it kind of clicked, I was like, oh, I get why there's so much jumping camera angles, why there's every, like you were saying, the problem you had, there are so many different camera angles they want to cut to. It's in my mind, I viewed that as like, this is how a lot of men in Japan, like there's an angle, everyone is looking at them from a different angle in a very creepy and leery way. The shots that the director got of like the upskirt stuff, it never felt leery to me. It just felt like it was pointing out something about how the world is viewing
this
movie.
That's how I felt. That's how I felt as well. I
would love for a woman to watch this movie and reach out in the comments and tell us what you think.
Because, I watched it with, next to my girlfriend, and she was pretty disgusted by it. So.
Yeah, but again, like I'm perfectly fine that people are having those reactions. Like VHS Nick having this reaction doesn't surprise me. That is perfect. That is a perfectly like valid way, an opinion of the film. I just didn't personally see it that way. Like, is it very disgusting and very uncomfortable to sit through? Like, yeah, of course, 100%. But I'm just saying, like. Yeah, that's the point. Like, that's why, like, that's it's supposed to make you sick in your stomach. Like, if you don't feel that way, then you and of yourself are just as fucked up as the characters in this movie.
Here's the thing, though. Like, even the fucking the rapist dude at the end is the guy who has a fucking conscience at the end, and he decides that, oh, I'm a good guy. Like, I'm like, he doesn't, not like that. Not that he's a good guy, but that he's not a monster, right? This movie should be picturing those people as fucking pieces of shit.
I mean, he is a monster.
He did, yeah. Like, it wasn't like he made him a good guy. Yeah, like, it's not like he portrayed him as a good guy. He's a piece of shit.
You shouldn't have the, like, moral ending of this movie end on, oh, he decided he didn't want to do it. So, I mean, it's just, no, the whole script of this just felt like fucking, just ill-conceived from somebody who doesn't have any kind of understanding of how society works.
Japanese society is way different than our society.
Yeah, Japan is just like in of itself in its own little bubble. Like I don't think it's fair to say this guy just doesn't know how society works when Japanese society, especially Japanese otaku society, comes from a very specific point of view. Like, I don't think it's fair. I found it very authentic that it's coming from his perspective. Like, he's not going to, the movie doesn't pretend that we as guys can connect with or like understand what these women go through every day, but I at least
then
really
why is a first person perspective on a fucking victim of sexual assault.
I really appreciate that the movie still kind of goes the extra mile to show, like, because if we can feel uncomfortable about what's going on, then I think Anno does a good job of like making us feel like the disgusted emotions that the characters are going through, and I think that was very well done. Ethan, do you want to keep talking about why you love it? I don't want it to be the only person just ragging on why I loved it. Yeah.
Like, I feel like I don't know. I just I really enjoyed the like filming style, and again, I never felt like it was leery in a way that was like object, like taking advantage of the actors rather than like proving a point of what the actual film was about to say or what the actual film is saying. Yeah.
I don't think that he was trying to take advantage of the actresses. I think just it was the way it was perceived on screen isn't very like careful with the subject matter. It didn't seem like he actually cared.
I watched this on YouTube, totally legally. I don't think it's fucking available anywhere else. But did I hit the subtitles? What was the guy called? Because it kept censoring subtitles.
I have no idea. Yeah, I have
was
no idea.
Captain
I was
Sex or something.
I googled it. No... It's apparently Captain EO is the only thing he's listed.
Captain
as.
AO.
Yeah.
What's AO?
The EO.
And why did
Captain
they...
EO?
Yeah,
that's
but
the
what
only
is,
thing I can
like,
see online.
They made it sound like it was such a bad thing because they bleeped it. I don't know. Like, I don't know what EO means. If that's
I think
what
they were trying is. To. I think they were trying to set it up like they were hiding his identity, because it's like I think they were trying to go for like a documentary style thing with it.
I see.
It's
so real
just
Chris
essentially
Hansen
it loosely translates to the letter E in English. So I don't know.
Yeah,
but why they also censored his little fucking stuffed animal. Thing.
Well, yeah. It was probably just because he wanted to hide his identity as well, so they added the.
Okay.
Now I'm glad VHS Nick said that, because now that I understand that was what they were going for, I was like, oh, okay, then that's probably why they did the same for his stuffed animal, his doll or whatever. Yeah. So, Culture Nick, do you have any more thoughts on the film? Do you hate it as much as VHS Nick? I'm curious, like. Do you at least understand where we're coming from, me and Ethan, on why we really like the movie?
Not really. I didn't like it. I feel like I've said a lot about this topic. I don't really want to talk about this that much.
So, yeah. No, I think
I would really
where...
prefer for the podcast to just stay away from things that are like, if they're regarding little kids from Japan, let's just not do it.
I didn't realize that's what the movie was about. I didn't know anything about the movie.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. I was like, it was just, damn it, Tim, after this whole talk last time, you recommended another fucking thing.
I don't want to have to come in mad about something.
Here's the thing.
The movie actually physically upset me.
I didn't purposely choose the movie for, I had no idea what the movie was about. The only reason why I wanted to watch it and why I recommended it was because it's Anno, and that's it. I knew Anno was the director, and I did not know anything about the movie. But now that I realize this is what the movie's about, even when I was watching it halfway through, I'm just like, yeah, like half of us are probably not going to like this. That's my bad. I do not mean, I feel like this, I swear to God, we have like this like vitriolic argument every time I recommend something for the podcast, and I swear to God it is not on purpose, but it just happens every time I want us to talk about something, and I don't know what that says about myself or my taste.
Tim, next rec, you have to have no minors in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the movie with the most old people? I gotta
so
think about
Tim's
that.
Tim's next rec is Cuties.
We're gonna watch 80s for Brady.
No,
80 for Brady. Yeah, that's what I'll do next time. 80 for Brady.
I think this is interesting because this is the first ever half star and five star movie we've had on the pod, because Nick voted, made this a 1 out of 10, and Tim, it's a 10 out of 10.
Oh,
so
really?
I think that's a first. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think that also
size of the spectrum.
Yeah, this also happened when we talked about I think it was Climax. I think the similar, I didn't give Climax a 10 out of 10, but I loved that one
Climax
a lot as well.
Score.
I gave a Climax a 10 out of 10, but I wasn't here for that. I wasn't a part of the pod.
You didn't exist before that episode.
I didn't exist. Yeah, I came into being a few days later.
All right, me and Tim have our ratings. What do y'all rate it?
I gave this one a 7 out of 10.
1 out of 10.
Damn.
Really? I thought you didn't hate it.
No, I think
he
just
said
he hated it. I think he hates it as much as I do. I think he just doesn't want to rant about it like I did.
That's fair. Nick, can you do the fucking Gandalf thing where you like blow a pirate ship out of your mouth with a vape?
You can just do smoke rings. I can't get to pirate ships yet. Maybe one day.
Yeah. Next time I'll pick the safest, most uncontroversial movie next time. I'll do fucking Green Book or some shit.
I don't want pedophile shit, bro. That's it. That's all I ask. Just no more. I can't do it.
Okay, this one wasn't even my... this one wasn't even my fault, okay? Like I said, I didn't know what the movie was about. I just wanted to watch it because Anno did it.
That's good. I was going to be a little more annoyed because I was like, damn it, Tim, if you knew what the fuck this was, why would you even try? Especially right after. Okay,
I will not be
watching
Evangelion.
Maybe I should just make that...
I will not
maybe
be watching
I should,
it.
Maybe I should just make that my sole mission, just to recommend the most fucked up contract. Like, maybe I should solo 120 Days of Sodom or some shit next time.
The podcast will fall apart.
Yeah.
We had to go from the Oscars, which I absolutely don't give a shit about, to something I absolutely hated.
So your energy was absolutely in the gutter this episode.
Yeah, this was a rough episode for me, boys.
Yeah.
Well, so, do we have anything else to say about Love and Pop?
I will say, maybe it's just because I'm the biggest Evangelion fan in the world and I just won't shut the fuck up about it, but I think it's because my love for Evangelion and Anno just in general was definitely a huge reason for me giving it such a high rate. Would I still love it if I didn't know anything about Anno and I didn't care about anime? I don't know. Probably not. But as someone who really loves Anno's voice as an artist, as a creative person, this very much was very creatively fulfilling, and I was just picking up everything Anno was dropping off, and I can't wait to watch more of his stuff. I still need to watch Shin Godzilla and Shin Kamen Rider. I know he did those.
Oh,
I guess
he did Shin Godzilla?
Yeah, he directed Shin Godzilla and Shin Kamen Rider. He didn't direct Shin Ultraman, which is the second movie of that trilogy. I think his the co-director of Shin Godzilla directed Shin Ultraman, and he also worked on Evangelion and a bunch of other stuff with Anno. Those are all on my watch list. I'm going to watch those. I haven't seen the original Godzilla, though, so my plan is to watch the original Godzilla first before I watch Shin Godzilla.
I have that on Criterion. I want to watch that, Godzilla, Shin Godzilla, and then Godzilla Minus One, because those are the ones I've heard are really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen that as well. And I also want to watch the Roland Emmerich Godzilla movie, because it looks funny.
Oh, I love that movie as a four-year-old dumbass.
Yeah, so... And right. I'm happy to... bring controversy and hate and conflict in the podcast. I'm glad that's my role.
Could you imagine how fucking miserable this episode would have been if I wasn't here? Like, it would have just been two fucking bummed out Nicks and Tim.
Yeah, it would be like the guy with the board meme where he's just explaining why something I'm just explaining why something is great, and then the Nicks are just like just want to kill themselves.
Sucks. You're a fucking PDF file. All right, Drake.
Hey now.
All right. So I think that's pretty much it for this episode. I think it is my turn to recommend. And since next episode will be coming out February something, I think, right? Or, right?
It'll be...
Yeah.
We'll be recording.
February 4th.
Oh, yeah. Sick. Okay. So we'll be releasing in early February, and we're going to be kind of doing a sort of, for the month, each of our recs are going to be very loosely, you can interpret this however you will to you guys, we're going to be loosely recommending things that might go in terms with like romance, whatever. You know, you can interpret that however you will. You can recommend something fucking bonkers. I think it'd be fine. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend 2013's Upstream Color by Shane Carruth.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, no one's seen this, I don't think.
Yeah, I have not seen this. Has been on my watch list for a while, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, this is the guy that did Primer. It was like that time travel movie from the early 2000s that's made for like $5.
I've heard that this movie wasn't great.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
We'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Though. Okay.
All right,
I haven't seen Primer. Do you recommend that I watch Primer before? How long is Primer?
Primer's like an hour 10 minutes. It's really short.
Okay, then maybe I'll watch Primer it before I watch Upstream Color.
I think it was like privately funded, but
okay.
That movie with like $5,000. Like,
yeah, actually. It was like super super cheap. But I think Upstream Color was like his second film, like 10 years later.
Yeah,
I think it has like a $50,000 budget too. I think it's really small.
Yeah, they're really really small indie films.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you guys liked this episode of the podcast, please leave us a like on YouTube or leave us a review on your podcast listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you do not want to be spoiled for Upstream Color on next episode, make sure you watch it before. And I think that is it. Thank you guys for watching.
Directed
Thank you, boys, for being here. And
you
directed it. Yeah, directed it. Shane Carruth. I almost had that. Upstream Color.
I'm gonna go Stuckmanize myself after this episode.
Yeah,
boys.
We should all go get Stuckmanized. All right. Good night, everybody.